Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Dear Lord, we thank you for this time that you've allowed us to come to your house. Lord, you've heard our worship so far. We thank you. We pray that you will be pleased with it. But Lord, I pray right now that you would be with our pastor as he's preparing his heart. Pray that you will just give him the words, give him the inspiration that comes only from you. Bless us with it. Bless us to open our hearts to receive the words you would have for us. Pray for those that are not able to be with us at this time, that are hurting, that are sick. Pray that you'll just comfort them as only you can. Tonight, Lord, there's a special meeting that's to worship you, to bring your word to our community. Pray that you'll just bless that service. Bless it, help it, hope that it will open doors to our community that for us to show your word to others that are lost. Lord, I just thank you so much for what you do for us each day. I pray that you'll just continue to help us to keep our eyes focused on you. These things I ask in your name. Amen.
Thank you, Mark. God bless you all. Please be seated if you can. Say this with me. Jesus. Say it again. Jesus. Say it again. Have you ever just stopped to think about that name? There is something about the name of Jesus. I'm so excited. I hadn't been able to sleep for probably 3 or 4 nights. I've been waiting for today with anticipation and expectation and excitement. I have always wanted to be a part of a great move of God. I want to be smack dab in the center under the spout where the glory comes out. I believe that's going to happen. I believe it's going to happen. You don't want to miss what's going on at our Kenwood campus this week. Starts every night, 7 o'clock, starts tonight. We've got 3 of the finest preachers in the state of Tennessee coming. And if some man doesn't bring revival, God does, but he uses empty vessels. Broken vessels. And so that's who we've got coming. before I start chasing rabbits, let's go to the Word of God. Now, I'm not going to ask you all to stand unless you just want to. But I'm just going to read from Revelation chapter 3. How about called you Ann? Ellen, I'm just going to read verses 20, 21, and 22. And then we'll come back in the message, okay? And cover verses 14 through 22. Revelation 3, verse 20. Now listen to this. Behold, that's Montgomery County for look ahere. Watch this. Track with me on this. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. What a promise. Come on, church, what a promise. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Most gracious, kind, sweet, powerful, precious Father, thank you for the privilege of being able to call you our Heavenly Father. And right now, God, would you just speak to our hearts? This is a very familiar passage of Scripture to a lot of us. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is the last, something's hit my throat here, of the seven letters to the seven churches that Jesus wanted sent out to the churches in Asia Minor. And this last letter that was sent to the church at Laodicea is very significant. Now, there are some scholars who believe that the seven churches are seven dispensations in church history. I don't know about all that, but what I do know is this is a powerful portrayal of the modern-day church in America. It is practical, it's powerful, it's prophetic, and it is personal. This is the church of the last days. It's what it's characterized by. And when I say the church, I'm not just talking about Second Mile or Kenwood, okay? I'm talking about the body of Christ, especially in our nation. So let's take a look at this. Now, first, you need to just give me your attention for just a minute. I've got to kind of set the table and all of that. Before you sit down to a meal, somebody's got to set the table, right? And so let me just talk to you a minute about Laodicea, about the commerce of the city. Laodicea was one of those seven main churches in Asia Minor. Most of them were just Greek-speaking churches that were, you know, that and Jesus had a message for all seven of them, but especially for the church at Laodicea. Now, the city was amazing. It was a commercial, industrious city. They were independent and self-sufficient. They were wealthy. They had a banking business that was second to none. As a matter of fact, in 17 AD, there was an earthquake that hit the city, and they were so resourceful and so wealthy, they told Rome, "We don't need your help. We'll rebuild our city." That's the city of... And it's a major... It was sitting on the junction of two major trade routes. On the eastern highway that went all the way into Ephesus, and on the southern highway that went all the way down to the Mediterranean Sea. And so there was a lot of trade and commerce going on. And y'all, they had this, they were a fashionable city, ladies. They had all the latest stuff. Y'all got me? And they were famous for their black wool. They raised these black sheep, and from these black sheep they would sew up and fashion black clothes made out of black wool, carpentry, tapestry, rugs, and people would come from everywhere to buy this black wool. Famous place. Industrious, commercial, wealthy. And they even had a medical center, medical school in Laodicea. Somehow they had produced a powder, and when you mixed it with water and put it on your eyes, it healed and cured a lot of the eye diseases of the day. But maybe what the city of Laodicea was most famous for was their water supply. They had built aqueducts and piped in hot water from the hot springs of Hierapolis and piped in through these aqueducts cold water from the city of Colossae. And so this was an amazing city. Laodicea was influential. They were wealthy. They were a center of trade and commerce. They were very self-sufficient. They acted like almost, you know what, we don't need anybody's help. We're the Home Depot of the seven churches. We can do this ourselves. You understand where I'm coming from? And so they were, in every way, they were a prominent, productive community, a city. And the problem, according to Jesus, was that the church was a lot like the city. Can I just say something to us this morning? We're supposed to be different. And it's okay to be different. Now, we don't have to act like a bunch of nerds and a bunch of, you know, knuckleheads. But we're supposed to be different because Jesus is different. We're not supposed to be like the rest of the world. Tell somebody, that's right. Now look at this. Let's look at the condition of the church. This is unbelievable. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write. Jesus has a message for the church. These things says the Amen. I love that name for the Lord. He not only says Amen, He is the Amen. He's the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And He's all that's in between. And so what the church from Laodicea is about to hear from, the one they're about to hear from is the Amen. And He is faithful and true witness. Jesus is truth personified. And He tells us what we need to hear, when we need to hear it. He's got all the goods. I mean, He knows everything and anything. He is the faithful, true witness. Aren't you thankful for a faithful leader like Jesus? Aren't you grateful for the truth that He is? He is the way, the and the life. There's no one like Jesus. And then He's described as the beginning of the creation of God. You can see the Lord's fingerprints all over creation. There isn't anything that even grows without His permission. I mean, he is privy to everything. And so the one who's speaking to the churches is the creator of the universe. He's faithful. He is truth personified. And He is the great Amen. And Jesus has the right to tell us what to do. I said Jesus has the right to tell us what to do. All right. Let's look at the condition of the church. He's got a complaint, first of all. Words of condemnation, really, for the church in Laodicea. He says, I know your works, that you are neither hot nor cold, that you're neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will. Now, your King James says spew. That word's not near strong enough. The word is vomit. I will vomit you out of my mouth. Now, why would Jesus begin with saying, I know your works, to the church at Laodicea? He knows everything there is to know. He knows everything about you. He knows what's going on in your life. He knows what I'm going through. He knows where I'm at. He knows everything. Nothing is hidden from His sight. He's got all the goods. He knows the condition that your condition is in. Am I communicating with anybody? And so He says, I know your works, that you're neither hot nor cold. You see, the sad truth of the matter is that the church at Laodicea was just like the city water supply, lukewarm. You see, by the time all that cold water got from Colossae to Laodicea, it wasn't cold anymore. It wasn't refreshing. It wasn't reviving. And by the time that hot water got from the hot springs of Hierapolis, it wasn't hot. It was just lukewarm. It wasn't relaxing. Lukewarm. How many of you have ever had a nice, wonderful tasting cup of lukewarm coffee? What do you want to do with lukewarm coffee first thing in the morning? I won't act it out. But Jesus said that the church was neither cold, in other words, dead, and they weren't hot. They weren't on fire. They'd lost their passion. They'd lost their emotion. They were somewhere in between. Now, I'm on metal right now, okay? And pastors get to do that from time to time. Because and by the way, I preach to myself every single day when I'm preparing these messages. And where are you on a scale of 0 to 10? 0 being ice cold, almost frozen, dead. 10 being on fire, passionate. Where are you on that scale? You say, well, I'm not really cold, but I'm not really hot. I'm maybe a 5 or a 6 or maybe a 4. Let me ask you this. Are you as close to Jesus as you've ever been? Are you as on fire for God today as you have ever been? Only you can answer that. But Jesus said, I know your works. Hello? And so the behavior of the church was pointing to where they were spiritually. They were indifferent, spiritually indifferent. You know what happens to people who've been saved a long time? And I can say this because I am one. The bent and the easy thing to do, and almost it just happens, is to become indifferent, unconcerned, apathetic, kind of half in, half out, half committed, half hearted. That's kind of the natural things that's just kind of the way we drift. And from time to time, we need a good dose of Jesus. We need revival. Hello? We need a touch from the Spirit of God this morning. I don't want to ever be a part of a lukewarm church. Can I make it any plainer than that? And if it kills me, I'm going to get passionate. I'm going to see God do a work in my life because that's who it's got to begin with. Me. You. Revival has to happen individually, right? So, these folks were spiritually indifferent. They're just kind of going through the motions. You know, isn't it easy to get dressed and get in the car on Sunday morning and just kind of head down here and, you know, just kind of go through the motions and hear a mild-mannered sermon given out to a bunch of mild-mannered people and go out here and be more mild-mannered? We need a touch from God. That's what the church at Laodicea did. And here's the worst part, y'all. They thought they were wealthy. They thought they had it together. They were fashionable. They were, you know, they had money. They were at peace with one another. Offerings were good. Things were all right. And yet, listen to what, not only were they spiritually indifferent, they were spiritually ignorant. They didn't even know that, you know, it's bad to need revival, but we all do from time to time. But it's even worse to need revival and not know it. And that's where they were, spiritually ignorant. Look at verse 17. Because you say, I'm rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. They were wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, and didn't even know it. They thought they were spiritually wealthy. They thought that they were dressed in robes of righteousness. They thought that they could see spiritually and hear spiritually. But Jesus said, no, and you don't even know it. Is this not a picture of the church in America today? This is why we've got what we've got, folks. We have been asleep for years. Years. That's why we've got what we've got. We're to be change agents, salt and light in our community. We're to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And I want to tell you, I thank God for many of you all. I have to tell some of y'all, would you stop? You're doing so much. But oh, that we might move down that scale that we talked about just a few minutes ago and get on fire, get passionate, return to Christ, and allow Him to be all He wants us to be. Now, next, we've looked at the commerce of the city and the condition of the church. I want you to hear the counsel of our Savior. Listen to this. And there's four words I want to give to you from verses 18 through 22. You can write them down. You can put them in here. Get them in here is the main thing. Restoration, repentance, reception, and revival. Those four words. Look at verse 18. Counsel of the Savior. He says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich. See, they thought they were rich, but they were spiritually bankrupt. They were in spiritual poverty. And you know, he talks about this refining process. Y'all all know the deal there. You put the gold in the fire, you know, and the impurities begin to rise and the dross, and then you skim that off the top and you heat it up again. And you understand what he's saying here? You need spiritual wealth. You need to be rich in the things of God. And by the way, it's more important to be wealthy in spiritual things than to have a big bulging over bank account. Right. Nothing wrong with having money. We've mentioned this many times. Nothing wrong with having things. Nothing wrong with having stuff. But what happens so many times is stuff has us. That's why Jesus spoke more, seven times more about wealth and money and possessions than he did about other subjects, because he knew we'd have trouble with it. So, buy for me gold. By the way, has anybody showed up at your place, at your house, looking for some gold? Did you give them any gold? You understand what I'm talking about? We talked about this last week. Did you give them any glory? Are you shining for the glory of God? When people see you, do they need what and want what you've got? Spiritual wealth. And then, and look next, he says that you, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. You see, they had this black wool, they had the highest fashion, they thought that they were the cat's meow. That's what my daddy used to say. But Jesus said, you're naked. You think you've got robes of... What he's talking about here is purity, holiness, righteousness. Can I just say to you, lovingly, give you a gentle reminder, we're supposed to be holy people. Amen. We're supposed to be righteous. I know we're not perfect, but our heart's desire is to be like our Savior. Amen? Tell somebody, I want to be like Jesus. And then they thought that they had great spirit. They thought that they had, you know, they had this eye salve that had been produced at this medical center there in Laodicea. And he says, anoint your eyes with eye salve so that you can see. Do you know how important it is for a believer, for a Christian, to have vision in your life? To be able to see spiritually? To be like the men of Issachar and understand the times and know what to do? And not only to see spiritually, but to hear spiritually. Oh, that God might restore our spiritual wealth today. Our spiritual clothing. And we might operate in holiness and purity and righteousness. Oh, that God might restore our spiritual sight. How does that happen? I've got a big word for you. We've been using it all week. But really, for the last 3 weeks, every time somebody's been pulling up a scripture in our prayer meetings, do you know the word that most often comes up? Repent. Repent. Look at it. Verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous. That word means eager. And repent. The word repent is a Bible word, and we really struggle with this word, the meaning of the word really, but it means a change, a turning of the will, of the emotions, of the mind. It's kind of like, I've mentioned it many times, a spiritual U-turn. We turn from some things. And you know, did you follow the order? Those whom I love, I rebuke, and those whom I rebuke, I chasten. Hebrews 12, 6 says that God only disciplines those He loves. And if things aren't just quite right in your life today, and you don't understand all this stuff that's coming your way, just do a spiritual checkup today and make sure these issues are right. And repent. Turn from it. I've been so blessed. You know, whenever you pray together with people, it kind of opens their heart. And you get to see what's on their heart and in their heart. And I've heard the people of God this week praying and asking God to forgive them, to lay aside and to forsake and to walk away from stuff that is mentioned in the Scriptures today. Repentance. Godly repentance. Not being caught. Not being sorry just because you got caught. But being sorry because you're willing to change. Repentance. A spiritual U-turn. That's how you're going to get this restoration. Here's the third word. Reception. Now this one tears me all to pieces. He says, verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come into him and dine with him and he with me." Think about how Jesus was received by His own people. His own nation. What did they do? Don't want you. Don't want any of that. And they rejected Him. And now, His own church. He's knocking on the door of the church. He's on the outside of the church. This is not a salvation verse, by the way. This is a sanctification verse. This is not some, we use it for salvation, but that is not the context of this scripture. He is wanting to come in to the family of God and sit down and dine with them and share intimacy and be just enjoy. You know, when's the last time you've really enjoyed an intimate meal with your family? That's something we talked about over and over again in Arcs and Arrows. Jesus wants to be in an intimate, passionate relationship with us. But He's on the outside knocking. And the doorknob's on the inside of your heart. And you've got to let Him in. He's a gentleman. He's not going to open the door and bust it down and come in. No, He's waiting for you to open that door so He can get into every single area, compartment of our lives. Total surrender. None of this halfway mess we've been talking about. Reception. Would you receive Him this morning? I could go on till 7 o'clock tonight, but I recognize who we are and where we are. Let me give you one final word. Revival. Restoration, repentance, reception, receiving Him as Lord. And when you do that, whoo! Look at 21. "To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. Just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." What are we talking about there? Did you know that you're an overcomer? If you're in Christ, you are an overcomer. You're not defeated. Oh, you may look like it this morning, but you are not. You're an overcomer. You're a winner. You've got victory. Quit walking around like you're defeated in some wilderness experience. You are more than a conqueror. For instance, just turn left in your Bible, 3 or 4 pages. Let me just prove this to you. You don't know what's going on in my life, Pastor. I probably don't. But let me tell you, if you're in Christ, you're an overcomer. 1 John 5. Verse 4. Somebody's going to get this, and even a Baptist might shout today. 1 John 5 and verse 4. "For whatever is born of God." Are you born of God? Are you saved? Are you a believer? Are you a Christian? That's what he's asking. Well, if you are, here it is. Whatever's born of God overcomes the world. That's a promise. That's a statement of fact. That's a truth. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Woo! Give God some glory today. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So if you are in Christ today, you are an overcomer, and you will sit down on thrones one day and reign and rule with him. You're an overcomer. And you know what? We need to start living like that. I said we need to start living like that. What we're talking about here is revival. Getting God's best. Some of you are just eking out some type of wilderness experience, and you're wondering this morning, isn't there anything more to this thing? Yeah, there's a lot more. And you can have it today by placing your faith and trust totally in Him. Nothing else. Forsaking your sin, walking away from it, laying it aside, and receiving His cleansing power. And then you'll no longer be spiritually in poverty. You'll no longer be living in rags, but you'll be dressed in robes of righteousness, purity, and holiness and righteousness. And you'll be able to see things that you hadn't seen. Did you know Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call unto me, and I will show you great and mighty things which you know nothing about." Hello? Spiritual sight. Revival. Now, I can't work this up in you. Only God can do that. And I've had to remind myself that this week. Because I've got a business degree and I'm very results oriented. And I have to be reminded from time, son, this isn't about you, this is about me. And you can't do this, but I can. Here's the last verse in Revelation 3. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We're talking about revival this morning. We're talking about renewing that relationship, that fellowship that you are already in. And can I ask you again that question? How close are you to the Lord this morning? Oh, I know you got His Spirit in here, but you're not quite as close. Well, who walked away? It wasn't God. And you need to come back home this morning. You didn't plan on coming to hear that this morning. And I know we've had all kinds of junk happen to us the last 18 months. And Satan's thrown all kinds of stuff. Can I remind you? You are an overcomer. You can become all God wants you to be. You can have true revival in your life today. But you've got to open that door of your heart and let Him in. And surrender wholeheartedly to Him. Get that other foot out of the world and get it over here in the kingdom. Amen? And so here's what we're going to do right now. Every time you hear the Word of God, every time you read the Word of God, every time you experience the Word of God, there is a decision to make. Am I going to be obedient to what God's calling me to do? Am I going to say yes to what He wants? That's totally up to you. Totally up to you. But can I just tell you? Just about everybody in this room has been prayed for the last 2 weeks. Just about every one of you in here. That God would do a work in your heart. And God would do a work that only He can do in you and for you. It's kind of like a daddy who's got children. He knows what's best for his kids. And I love you enough to tell you, your pastor knows what's best. And you do too. You do too. Don't we want what God wants us to have? Father, I don't know how to say it any better. I'm just a plain-spoken old boy. Sometimes I'm too plain-spoken. I don't know how to say anything, but just say it. I pray you'd forgive me of anything I shouldn't have said or anything that I should have said and didn't say. But this time is yours, Father. It's not mine, it's yours. And there are my brothers and my sisters here who have gone through all kinds of agony, through valleys of misery, dealing with death and sickness and illness, COVID. And the things of this world have drug us down. Oh, we need your Spirit to revive us. To move out of this lukewarm stuff. We don't want to make you sick at your stomach this morning. We want to be on fire and passionate like we were in the days when we first got saved. Oh God, you do what only you can do. We promise to give you praise. Now you know what you need to do today. You know right now what you need to do or not do. I'm going to ask you in just a moment if you need salvation, if you need to know that you're a true believer. I want to get you to come out of your seat and we'll get you in the Word of God and we'll show you how to be saved, how to be born again. But the vast majority of us here this morning, this message is for the saints of God. We need revival. And maybe right there in your seat, right there in your pew. Oh, we'll know if you've received revival. Just coming forward to an altar. We'll know. And more importantly, He'll know. But if you need to come and pour your heart out to the Lord here at this old-fashioned altar, we're going to ask that you'd come and get right with God. We don't have to wait till tonight. We can have it right now. Father, bless my brothers and sisters as we pour out our hearts to one another, and as we pray and as we seek your face and as we repent and turn from all this stuff and we receive your forgiveness this morning. Oh God, revive us again. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.